And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, we're going to update you on the latest about the James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets trade discussions. We will look at, did the Nets overpay Joe Harris? Should Nets fans be freaking out right now that the Nets have done barely anything in free agency?
Yes.
And we'll go news around the league looking at all the top moves from around your National Basketball Association.
So fun. So cool.
Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian. Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get behind that paywall. There's going to be a Black Friday deal. I don't know if I can tell people what it is.
You serious?
There's going to be a Black Friday deal.
Oh my gosh.
Coming out to The Athletic. So just wait. Everyone wait. But then when you want to get behind that paywall, go to TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. I want everyone staying up until 12:01 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on that Friday. And the thing about the deal is you have to go to a circuit city. You have to find a circuit city to get the deal. So that's the only way. That's a joke.
Yeah.
I did.
Good one.
Have you ever done the Black Friday in person thing?
I just show up for the mosh pit. I don't actually buy anything. I just go to the pit.
You just wear like knee pads and elbow pads and just smash people in the head.
Yeah, exactly.
What a fun experiment that would be.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, combine the paywall, theathletic.com/glueguys and iTunes 5 stars. We want to have them. Brian, the Nets are back.
Wow. Mike, we blew it. We blew it this offseason again.
The Nets are terrible.
We didn't do anything. Just kidding, guys. These are the memes. These are the memes. Mike's ready to go off. He's ready to tee off on Nets Twitter.
Okay, listen, folks. So I don't know. I know everyone who listens to us don't necessarily traffic with the Nets Twitter, but there's obviously a portion of our fan base that intersects with Nets Twitter in a very prominent way. There had been a development if you were not on Twitter. Nets fans were worried, Brian. They were stressed as names were flying off the board. Montrezl Harrell going to the Lakers. You know, all the Bucks reloading their bench after losing Bogdan Bogdanovic in the kind of shady tampering deal that was going to be happening. And the Nets sat quietly, and all they did was re-sign Joe Harris. And people are freaking out on Twitter.
No. We got some Jeff Green. Come on. We can't forget about Jeff Green.
We had to get excited about Jeff Green.
Who's been talked about often on this show? Did you know that I had the inside track on that, and that's why I was layering him covertly.
What inside track?
It was a complete coincidence. Come on.
Sometimes you do have some mysterious things.
Who knows?
In your bag.
Who knows what's going on?
We'll talk about Jeff Green, how exciting that is. But what I think there's something that's happening that we all need to grapple with. On a psychological level, okay?
Okay.
So let's be fortunate, right? It's Thanksgiving.
Oh.
It's time to give thanks.
Okay.
The Nets are going to add Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, because Kyrie barely played last year.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Brown, who started like 45 games for your Detroit Pistons. Not a good team, but he started. And Landry Shamet, who started about 25 games for your Los Angeles Clippers, who were, despite the playoffs, a very good regular season team. They're adding that bundle of talent to a team that, you know, went to the playoffs. Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, Jared Allen, DeAndre Jordan, Torian Prince, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this, you know, this team is adding a ton of talent. And what the Nets don't need to do is then to just make a bunch of random signings for guys who aren't going to fit the culture that's needed here.
Oh, we're going back to the culture. Is that right? Now we're going. No, I think people are just, aren't they just antsy for James Harden? They were promised James Harden, and now they feel betrayed by the news media that he wasn't delivered to us on a silver platter.
It is concerning that we basically, so to update on the James Harden situation, Woj was on SportsCenter a day or two ago, and this is what he had to say. He says, Joe Harris was the offseason priority for Sean Marks in Brooklyn, which makes a lot of sense. That's what Marks himself had been saying consistently. So he gets that deal. This is Woj speaking. They bring in Landry Shamet. We'll see. I love when they say that. There are still more deals to be made in Brooklyn. Their focus now is having those complimentary guys around KD and Kyrie, and Harris was at the top of the list to keep him. And that's the end of that quote, speaking about the James Harden deal. Essentially, the Nets have, for now, moved on and aren't focused on it. Do you actually think that's true, though? Do you believe that the deal that was maybe on the front burner has moved to the back burner?
Yeah.
And is simply simmering as opposed to boiling?
I mean, whenever I think about it, I sit down at my window and I put my hands on the sill like this, and I get to thinking. The things that I think about are that, you know, time is just on our side, Mike. There's really, you know, when you have this classic archetypal situation of a disgruntled superstar, the team in which he flags as a place he wants to go is truly calling the shots. And so, like, we did the first, you know, artillery fire back and forth. Everyone fired their shots. And now it's time for Houston to sort of stew in the smoke of the artillery fire. Because if by midseason, you know, it's like, it cuts both ways. It's good for us, right? So if by midseason, we're already on pace to win what would have been 70 games or whatever in a normal season, then fine. We really just totally don't care. We're feeling very confident about the fit of all of the pieces in our team. And it's just not a priority on any level. If we're not as good as that and we're looking to upgrade, also if we're in that situation, then we have no, like, we have all the leverage in the world, right? Because he wants to come here. We have the, like, ostensibly one of the better packages, I guess, for the places where he would flag to go in the first place. Although I'm not sure how much that matters at that point for them if they're going through a whole half season. See, this is me at the window, so now I'm really just thinking out loud.
Well, and if you kind of think about in this scenario, the Nets are good scenario and the season has begun, maybe the Rockets are bad. Like, maybe the Rockets, it's like Westbrook has been stewing.
Right. Well, both of them.
To continue with our liquid broth analogies.
Okay,
he is stewing. James Harden is frothing at the mouth to get out, and the rest of the Rockets are bouillabaising themselves. And it's just become a toxic stew of grumpiness.
And Ariza's just putting up 30 a game because those guys are,
Ariza's not even on the Rockets now. Ariza's been on four teams in the past like week. I don't know where he
Wait,
is now in America.
Who did they get for that? I forget now.
So they traded away Robert Covington. They got they had picks, and Ariza got moved to, I think he's with the Thunder technically. Uh-huh. Like, the Thunder have the entirety of
the
NBA.
Watching the Thunder just like all like just on the news feed constantly. They've been active. Okay, yeah.
By
so
the
not
way,
Ariza.
If you are a Nets fan and you're worried about the lack of sort of veteran free agents that they're bringing in, just, I don't know what the Thunder's roster looks like right now, but they're going to be buying out, you know, if Ariza's on the team, I don't know, but he's probably a buyout candidate. George Hill's on the team. I don't think they're going to buy him out because he's going to have value, but like, George Hill's an interesting, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want George Hill if he's bought out or available on the market.
But can I say something to you? Like, so anyways, all of that, like, I think in general, we're in the best position possible, especially if we're doing well, if we're like, you know, above average, but not great. Like, obviously there's diminishing returns there. But I will say that in general, to your point, earlier point about the impatience of the Nets fan base, that started taking root way before all of this happened with the Serge Ibaka, like idling thoughts of like, yeah, we'll just get Serge Ibaka. That was always, I felt like, oh, this is the beginning of the, which is, I like, you know, an entitled fan base is evident of a healthy fan base, and that's good. But like, the idea that Serge Ibaka was going to take as big of a pay cut as we were asking him to take to play a year or two with us in the heart of his prime is evidence of magical thinking that only can come from a self a self-worth that's been evaluated pretty heavily in recent days.
Right. And I think, so to trace the Serge Ibaka thing, right? I mean, we had been, Rip Hamilton, of all people, was saying that Serge Ibaka may be going to the Brooklyn Nets. Though if you actually watch, so where Rip Hamilton said that was CBS Sports HQ, which is a streaming CBS Sports channel. And when he said it, if you actually watch the clip.
Is that a dig to CBS Sports HQ? Is that a subtle dig?
It's tough. Like, obviously, we work for the Athletic, or I work for the Athletic, and you're, I guess, a freelance contractor.
Air it all out. Jeez.
Yeah. But it's like, there's so, like, how deep do we want to go into the webs of trying to figure out where people are?
Incredibly deep.
Pretty deep, right? But when Rip Hamilton, news-breaking Rip Hamilton, said that, I think he was kind of saying it more. It was like, maybe the kind of the prevailing thinking, but not as if he had inside information that Serge Ibaka was going to go to the Brooklyn Nets. But so there's many people that have said that Serge was thinking about going to the Brooklyn Nets. Just for a second, I think the Raptors offered like 1 year, $12 million or 1 year, $13 million or something. The Clippers, the deal that he ultimately signed was basically 2 years, $10 million per year. And the Nets could only sign Serge Ibaka for half that amount. So like on the scale of cost, Serge is deciding between $12 million to stay where he is, $10 million to go to LA and play with Kawhi, someone he's won a championship with, or $5 million and play in Brooklyn. And to be honest, it's not like a great situation because there's still Jared Allen and DeAndre Jordan. And, you know, there's just like, there was a little clutter there. It makes sense that he wasn't going to come to Brooklyn. Like, we all have to be honest a little bit with ourselves. Now, I was hoping that there was a Mikhail Prokhorov, Andre Kirilenko type deal on the table, or maybe Joe Tsai's throwing in some Alibaba stock, some secret Alibaba stock to our boy Serge Ibaka that could have made the difference. Because if we all remember back, that Kirilenko deal when he signed with the Nets, when they made the Pierce KG trade, it was maybe one of the sketchier. It seems
someone got in trouble for calling it like a Russian deal, like a Russian back alley deal. Like somebody got like, it was a pariah.
Got taken out to a Russian back alley for describing.
Be
the
careful.
Deal as
it
such.
Could be you next. Okay, be careful.
By the way, Brian, let's not forget to talk about Nicholas Batum because one, Brian,
you are manifesting this, Mike, and I love it.
Well, you quickly identified to trace back our origins. We had a conversation about Nick Batum like 4 months ago.
That's true.
And you said we were using Nick Batum quotes because at that time he was making $29 million from your Charlotte Hornets. And the way you saw him thinking, you were like, oh, Batum is out of there. Like as in like he's going to pick up his option, but he's going to be gone. And he is gone. Here are the teams that apparently Nick Batum is being linked to already. The Nets, your Brooklyn Nets. Okay. Warriors, Bucks, and Raptors, and I think maybe the two LA teams themselves. So, like, everyone wants themselves some Nick Batum.
Yeah.
I want myself some Nick Batum.
I mean, the fall off was too extreme. It's too extreme and it's on too bad of a team. You know, it's for me, it's definitely worth an Andre Blotch style cup of coffee out here, you know, just to see what's left of the tank.
Yeah. Some Nets fans on Twitter are like, let's bring back Blotch because. There's this weird idea because so people really want the Nets to get a power forward, which of course, yes, Serge Ibaka would have been amazing. Do we realize that there if in fact Jared Allen remains on this team and of course DeAndre Jordan is further entrenched as I compared him to the Amy Coney Barrett of the Brooklyn Nets, meaning no one wants him, but he's never going to leave.
Right.
Those are all the center minutes and Kevin Durant is going to play decent amount of minutes. So I don't know if our power forward position is as fully desired as it
in your mind right now. Is the starting lineup Kevin Durant or sorry Kyrie, Karis, Joe Harris, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Jordan? Is that how that flows for you?
I think you got to put Nick Claxton at point guard.
I mean, this is a meme, but anyways, yeah. So wait,
people are counting on Nick Claxton to be
for real minutes. It's crazy.
He's going to get traded. Everyone, by the way, like if they do a Harden deal, if you're the Rockets, you're going to ask for Nick Claxton. Cause you're just be like, why just give me all the good ish young prospects that you have, by the way, RIP Jalen Hands. Jalen Hands is now a Detroit Piston. Joe Tsai's favorite basketball player. I will never let go of the fact that Joe Tsai made that pick.
It was a complete conspiracy con job, and you were the only person that was hip to it. And
who's that? Who's the attorney for Trump's attorney team?
Yeah.
Powell, who everyone is discrediting. Even Rudy Giuliani is distancing himself from, I think, Sidney Powell.
That's you.
That's me on the jail of him. Venezuela, Joe Tsai, and Maduro. Just I'm throwing names in there.
That's right.
Made the Jalen Hands pick. So wait, Nick Claxton. What were we talking about? The starting lineup. That is an interesting question, and we got to kind of dive into those details.
We're not there yet, but that's how I, you know, for it's basically because like of all the starting power forward talk. Like in my mind, I'm slotting Kevin Durant at the four. Is that crazy? Am I wrong?
So yeah, Kevin Durant's the power forward. I think the only way that someone else is starting at power forward is if it's like sort of the let's not have Kevin immediately guard other teams' fours, but like who's the fours in the NBA that you're really concerned about Durant guarding?
Well, right. And so for me, it comes down to the Caris LeVert, Joe Harris conversation. It's like, do you want to actually insert a four of which we don't actually have right now? So like none of this is stacking up for me, but like, let's say in a hypothetical world where we have a four coming, a Serge Ibaka coming in, are you taking Caris LeVert or Joe Harris out of the starting lineup?
Right. So I think you take Caris LeVert out of the starting lineup,
which is crazy, right?
You need to start Joe Harris.
I agree, but that's like, I mean, again, now we're slotting in our, like, you know, our third best player is coming off the bench. Maybe right. Our fourth best player as well in Dinwiddie.
And that's why I think it kind of dispels like the desire, as you're saying, the desire for a power forward, because the demand for a power forward, ultimately, that person's going to play 15 minutes a game at the most. And it's going to be one of the situations where a lot of teams, frankly, not smart teams, do this, where they start almost like it's like the Kendrick Perkins spot, where they start a Perkins center, just because that's like what you should traditionally do. And the minute you move Perk to the bench, the better lineup comes into play. It's almost like even like the Warriors, who were a very smart team, continually started centers to start games, and then they would go to their lineup of death at the end of the games. Any power forward the Nets bring in at this point, unless it's for Aaron Gordon or John Collins, isn't going to be good enough to put LeVert on the bench. Your best lineup right now, your crunch time lineup, though, this is what's interesting. Not starting, but the crunch time should be Kyrie, Caris, KD, Joe Harris, and then like probably Landry Shamet, or maybe Spencer Dinwiddie, or like DeAndre Jordan isn't closing games for you, I don't think, at all. Maybe Jared Allen, but that's, we'll see.
I mean, but also we're going to be a competitive team, which means that you're not going to really have, I mean, an eight player lineup is about what, like, if we're going to be really truly like winning games, we've got to like really shorten the rotation. We've been used to like a 13 man rotation for the last 5 years because we've been, you know, bad, and that's what you do because you want to try new guys all the time, and we're not going to do that. So like, we have to get used to the idea that we have a way smaller rotation too,
and that's sort of my everyone needs to calm down, my Taylor Swift y'all need to calm down type deal. One of her songs is something about that. Okay, look at the Nets roster at the moment. And I still think that's why when you look at the roster, you can foretell that a trade is on the horizon. There's just too many contributors on various roster. But let's just say the starters are Kyrie, Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, Kevin Durant, and DeAndre Jordan. Those are the starters. Here are the bench then. Dinwiddie, Torian Prince, Shamet, Bruce Brown, Jared Allen. And then you could even go TLC, Nick Claxton, Rodions Kurucs, Reggie Perry, that second round pick who will probably be like a two-way guy or whatever. Jeff Green is on your bench. That bench is better than like three teams right now in the NBA. And one of the problems when you build a sort of super contender is you actually don't want to just load up your bench with guys who want to play 25 minutes a game or who are worthy of it. You actually want to build a bench where guys fit into the role. So Jeff Green is no longer a sexy pick, right? People magazine just came out with their sexiest men alive. Jeff Green was not on that list.
Who was number one?
Michael B. Jordan, classically
classically. That feels fair. Yeah.
Deserves
new issues.
But Jeff Green, not on the list because he's no longer one of the sexiest men alive. He is, if Town and Country had a most stable men alive, Jeff Green would be that. Not that he's a consistent performer, but like,
just stable. You
know, he was on,
he's just stable. He's like an even keel.
You know what you're going to get roughly from Jeff Green. Like, he's going to come in. He's got some athleticism. He could kind of play the five for you in times at small lineups. He can certainly play power forward position. He's almost never going to demand the ball, seemingly, because he doesn't really feel like a guy who wants the ball a lot on the offensive end of the floor. But that the Jeff Greens of the world, Brian, are really who you want on the bench. Mm-hmm. And right now, the Nets bench is actually too loaded. Like, you have Dinwiddie. We all love Spencer. He is in a position where he probably wants to play a bunch of minutes and score a bunch of points. Even though he says he's going to be Draymond Green, he likely wants, you know, sort of a little bit more runway because he has a big contract coming up,
and
he hopes.
And this is why you and I are on the same page with the Nick Batum, with the premonition and the execution on the Nick Batum fantasy.
Because Nick Batum just has no desire.
You know, I completely forgot that I had said that I had charted this so accurately. Wow. And now you've reminded me. That's not like me, Mike.
Just to put a bow on this.
Wait, can we do one email before we put it? Because it's relevant a little bit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's relevant to this conversation. This is from Cheerboy Christian Cleary.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's a nice name. Christian Cleary. He says, hey, Glue Guys. I was sure that James Harden would be a Brooklyn Net before the start of the upcoming season. Although I'm still holding out hope, it's looking less likely this will happen for a variety of reasons. If this deal doesn't get done for 6 months, a year, even longer, I'm worried about the chemistry of the Nets moving forward. I think back to LeBron James's first year on the Lakers, where it was obvious the organization was working out an eventual deal for Anthony Davis. The young LA core at the time, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, seemed despondent, even rebellious, that they would eventually be in a trade package. Could this same sentiment be shared by Dinwiddie, LeVert, Allen, and Prince? Quick side question. I've been hearing the Nets may need a third team to make a deal for Harden. Any thoughts on who this team may be and its players? Thanks, Christian. Thank you, Christian. Really nice email. Really good pagination. Easy on the eyes. Appreciate that. Netspod@gmail.com, everybody. Hit us up. Mike, are you worried that we're going to go all Lonzo Ball on this biatch and have some toxicity in our city?
Well, let me ask you a question. Where do you think the toxicity would come from? I have an answer, Brian, on this roster.
Is it Spencer Dinwiddie? Is that what you were going to say?
It's Kyrie Irving.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
I'll defend Kyrie for a lot of things, and we'll get to this in Newsround the League about the slanderous statements coming out of Boston about Kyrie Irving. I think the hen should look more at his own hen house before he...
You're going to go back in on
the bad eggs. Yeah.
By the way, that's been making the rounds so we can get
it. Yeah. I know. People steal another stolen take. Yeah. New segment, another stolen take. Anyways, let's just go back to what Kyrie Irving said in January of this very year, even though January of this very year feels like a while ago. Kyrie Irving said this. Collectively, I feel like we have great pieces, but it's pretty glaring we need one more piece or two more pieces that will complement myself, KD, DeAndre, Garrett Temple, RIP Garrett Temple, Spence, Karis, and we'll see how that evolves. Now, that quote elicited a pretty strong response across the entirety of the NBA community because he left some people out, like Jared Allen. But it also was an indication that the Nets are our third star hunting and that Kyrie Irving himself advocates for that position. So that same person, if a James Harden deal isn't made, if a Bradley Beal deal isn't made, or whoever you want to kind of put into that player X position, Kyrie Irving will go in looking at the roster and saying, hey, I said this in January, and yet we have the same players here.
Interesting. You're going the other way than most people. Most people haven't gone the other way. I think people assume, to your point, I think incorrectly, that Kyrie would be jealous of a third star or something or feel diminished by the presence of a even greater star like James Harden.
So I like it. This is great. By the way, Brian's got
it's every day with this. Some guy double parks, and then instantly a FedEx truck will come by, like turning up the corner. It's like clockwork, like a Swiss train.
I do fully understand and also worry, you know, about James Harden's fit, right? Like, we haven't seen, you know, I've heard it described like he needs to be Olympic Harden, which is true. Like, we prayed for Olympic Melo for so many years. We never really got it. And there is a version of James Harden that exists where he can share the ball, though we haven't seen it in the NBA. You know, within the continental U.S., We have not seen James Harden play that style of basketball.
Hawaii. Only
in Hawaii. But Kyrie Irving literally said that this team needs one or two more pieces. And, you know, I guess you could argue Bruce Brown and Landry Shamet are the complementary pieces, because that's what Kyrie was calling for to this roster. And maybe he will be satiated by Mr. Shamet and Mr. Brown. Though I'm guessing what Kyrie really feels is a little bit more of an elevated piece to come onto the team. And so I think if I'm Kyrie and KD, and I do see, you know, the Bucks adding Drew Holiday and, you know, the Lakers adding a few really nice bench pieces to a team that had a really bad bench, I maybe look around and say, like, well, what are we doing? We're just getting, like, pretty good guards who I like, Mike Smeltz likes. But I don't know if Kyrie Irving, on his field of vision, his third eye is looking at Bruce Brown and Landry Shamet and thinking, yes, those are the dogs I want in this battle royale of basketball we're about to experience in 2020, 2021. So I could see some toxicity fomenting a little bit in Brooklyn, though the Lakers comparison is a great one, LeBron's first year. Though I think LeBron is acutely gifted at, once he decides that you're not going to help him win a championship, he ices you out like no one no great player in the history of NBA besides Michael Jordan.
Can I say something though? I also think that when LeBron, you know, we give LeBron a lot of guff. He is gruff. We give him a lot of guff, but you know, the reality is, so what? So, okay, there was some toxicity, but he knew he wasn't going to win a championship with those guys. So yeah, they got butthurt about it, and it made them leaving a little bit easier for everybody because of the butthurtedness. And then what they brought back did end up winning them a championship. So it's hard not to, you know, be like, well, that's, you had to break some eggs to make that omelet, and everyone won in the end. So, you know, it was an uncomfortable transition, sure, but you won a chip, you know, it's worth it.
What kind of omelet would LeBron James be, if you, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, what kind of omelet?
What is
would
the
they be?
Like signature food of Cleveland and or Akron? Is there, do they have, you know, like they got like hot dogs out there? What do they eat?
Like lake fish?
Is that like a fish
toxic
fry?
Toxic lake fish?
They do a fish fry?
Third Eye fish from Springfield?
Because like I was, you know, I've been to Detroit where they have the Coney, which is a great like staple of a city, right? Like that's a good,
like a hot dog.
So it's a chili dog with mustard and onions, which is, I think,
great
the,
job.
The optimal,
great job by you, Detroit.
The optimal way of eating the
I have
dog.
Family from Detroit, so I shouldn't like just you shit on Detroit, but
it's just their Coney, you know, dog. It's not, I mean, what are they going to come? Yeah. They're gonna come for you. Yeah. But yeah, does what Clevelanders, what are you eating out there? You got a signature dish, you got a buffalo wing, a Philly cheesesteak. What's up?
Did they steal the buffalo wing from Buffalo? Another.
I'll tell you what. Here's some shade. I've been to Buffalo. Buffalo wings in Buffalo suck. Hey, I'm just going to shots fired that right away. They're all overcooked, and they just use the same Frank's Red Hot.
I know.
Yeah.
I've been to the Anchor Bar, the home of the buffalo wing, the creator, the birthplace, and, you know, fine wing.
Yeah.
Hooters, yeah. I guess, has better wings. I don't know. Remember when Hooters, like, that was the thing, that when you would be like, Hooters has good wings? It's like, I read Playboy for the articles or whatever.
I mean, not to say that I haven't been to Hooters. I've been to Hooters, but I've never heard that, like, you gotta, like, the wings are actually good, like, low key good.
Dude, I remember going, my friend Daniel Wolf, his, like, 17th birthday party.
Shout out to Daniel. Happy birthday, Daniel.
Was at a Hooters.
The big 1-7.
That was like, so this was the point of our lives. We were in high school. we all had cars, or, you know, or our, like, our friends had cars, or whoever the situation
you
was.
Y'all had hot rods. I get it. I see it.
Gassing up.
Yeah.
This was post Fast and Furious. Yeah. So we all had, you know, we were super souped low up, to the ground cars.
Souped up Hondas. Yeah.
But so I get in my Dodge minivan, my purple Dodge minivan, and bus up to a Hooters. Because we have free reign, we have the ability now to decide where we want our birthday parties to be. Not a great look, a bunch of just awkward 17-year-old. Sure. Like, it was, I'm cringing.
You know what's funny? Because I've seen you order food at restaurants, and it is a journey on its own. I can only imagine the complications that Hooters brings to the table for that particular picadillo of yours.
It's awkward. Anyway, so let's do this. Wait, we need to finish this piece off, because we should take a break and go news around the league quick. Yeah, but so Joe Harris re-signed with the Brooklyn Nets. He got the bag, 4 years, $75 million contract. Now, instantly, you know, John Hollinger, friend of the show, who is very smart on basketball, had kind of indicated that was too much money for Joe Harris. He didn't outright say it was a bad contract, but he tied it into a larger theme of, like, if a team is capped out and has someone's bird rights, they typically have to overpay for that bird rights player because they're going to lose that person for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the situation the Nets were in. Though, you know, they really could have just let Joe walk and had Landry Shamet and Bruce Brown play sort of the Joe Harris minutes.
I don't like it. I don't like that.
I have no issues with 4 years, $75 million. The reason why is because that's exactly what Alan Crabb was offered and accepted when the Nets were dive bombing into restricted free agency. And I do remember, like, I'm not going to completely discount what Alan Crabb was. Like, I remember how good Alan Crabb allegedly was when he got that deal. You know, he's one of the better three-point shooters in the NBA, and you could kind of see that he could be a good defender. Joe Harris is a better player than Alan Crabb was, and it's a totally different situation from then and now for the Nets. Joe Harris is a better defender overall, better ball handler, better getting to the rim and scoring, and he's a better overall shooter consistently over his career than Alan Crabb was. 4 years, 75, a lot of money. Here's some other, like, guys in the NBA about what they're making, like, 4 years, $75 million. So, like, I'm not all that stressed out about it. It's like, well, Sabonis, you know, our favorite person in the world, is making 18.5, which is basically the amount of money that Joe Harris is going to be making. I think it's exactly the amount of money that he's going to be making. But Clint Capella is making 18 a year, which is actually escalating up to 19 and then up to 20 over these next few years. I'd rather have Joe Harris than Clint Capella. Aaron Gordon is making that amount of money. Frankly, for this team, I know they could get Aaron Gordon. Rather have Joe Harris. Terry Rozier, 100% Joe Harris. Julius Randle's pretty good, but, you know, it's a different player. Tim Hardaway Jr. is making $19 million a year in his final year of this contract. They're pretty comparable. And so that doesn't feel all that weird. And Tim Hardaway got that contract like 2 or 3 years ago. So a different time. Gary Harris. I'd rather have Joe Harris than Gary Harris. So, like, if you just look at the comparables, you know, I Eric Bledsoe's making about $17 million a year, and it's going up every year after that, 18 and then 19 and a half. You know, Eric Bledsoe probably is better on a team who don't have any point guard help, but Joe Harris is going to be more helpful to a team that is really good. So, overall, fine contract, slight overpay, maybe. But if you lose Joe Harris, you lose out on one of the best shooters in the NBA, and you immediately begin looking for a guy exactly like Joe Harris if you lose him. So he returned, and that is a success. And most importantly, it shows that Joe Tsai, Brian's favorite owner, is willing to pay a lot of money for his team.
We learned from our mistakes with Bojan Bogdanovic. Okay, Mike, that's what this signing tells me. All right.
Ooh.
We
don't talk about this enough, by the way. But yes.
We got roasted on that. We got roasted on it. I'm telling you, we were holding him back. It was terrible. The guy he's almost 50-40-90 guy right now.
And it's so they obviously to go back to that trade, the Nets traded 3 months of Bojan Bogdanovic for the Jared Allen pick, would end up becoming Jared Allen. J- Jared Allen's great. And we may see. I don't know if he's going to survive on this team much longer. I hope he does. But do you know what Jared Allen's doing on Instagram, by the way?
please tell me. Please do tell.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
So this is a grain of salt here.
All right.
He has posted a video or two of a rocket launch. Okay.
What's that?
Now, some people have interpreted the rocket launch as him indicating that he will be traded to your Houston Rockets.
Okay.
I've seen him do this before. He is a nerd. Like, a self-admitted
like just
nerd.
Just a rocket launching? What is rocket launch?
Like a SpaceX launch. Yeah. Okay. Because there literally was a SpaceX launch
right.
5 days ago. Okay. And that's when he did it. He posted a video, him videoing the TV screen of a rocket launch.
Okay.
Some people are thinking it means that he is trying to tell the world that he will soon be a Houston Rocket, a Houston Rocket, if you will. Mm-hmm. I just think he's a nerd. And he also is kind of playing coy a little bit, a little coy, Jared Allen.
Okay. I guess I got to watch this and come to my own conclusions. Yeah.
He's a big Linus and Hobbes fan. Is that the cartoon?
Calvin and Hobbes?
Oh, Calvin and Hobbes?
That's funny though.
Linus and Hobbes.
Linus is the like
is Charlie Brown.
Yeah, Charlie right? Brown's like nerdy friend.
Yeah, sorry, funny. It conflated.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I really don't think Jared Allen's trying to tip his hand to the world and let them know that he is going to the Houston Rockets. But anyways,
who knows?
You're okay with the Joe Harris money? By the way,
I am. I mean, we got roasted on Boyan, like I said, and we need to. You know, no, that's a meme. Medium meme. That's like 50% of a meme. But yeah, no, in general, I think that Joe Harris is exactly the kind of system fit dude that, you know, I guess it's a tiny bit of an overpay, but one that it's not so egregious that I'm made uncomfortable by it.
There's one more Nets thing I could get to, and I don't think we need to do news around the league because this is a show and it's a perfect show. It's tight and wonderful.
Great.
Let me just splash some names out your way.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So let's say the Nets do make a trade.
Okay.
And they lose four players for one.
Okay.
Like James Harden. Here's a couple of guys that are still out there in free agency, which intrigue me. And we've kind of talked about this a little bit before, but I'm going to give you the list of the best of the best. And you tell me who you think fits the best kind of within that framework.
Shoot.
Matthew Dellavedova. Hey, hello, Matthew. Matty boy. Wait, where am I going with that? Travion Graham. We love him.
You know how I feel.
Irsan Ilyasova. Big fan. Taj Gibson. Rondé Hollis Jefferson. Michael Kidd Gilchrist. Noah Vonleh. Jared Dudley. And Hassan Whiteside. Center. Can't imagine the Nets are going to go center. But there's Reggie Jackson, someone who I previously loved in a former life, which I totally regret ever loving. Do any of those, Dellavedova, Travion Graham, Ilyasova.
What's Vonleh been up to lately? What's his story again?
I don't know. He was a guy who previously signing with the Knicks, or one, he was on the Knicks like two seasons ago, and he was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I was kind of advocating for the Nets to trade for him. But last season he played in Denver and Minnesota, basically like 36 games overall, and did absolutely nothing for either team.
Yeah.
But before that, he was a starter on a bad Knicks team.
By the way, did you see the Nerlens Noel
signing by the Knicks?
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I actually think the Knicks are doing the exactly right thing.
I would do that too if I was them. I saw it good. I mean, I was like, Nerlens Noel was out there to be got? Damn.
They got Austin Rivers on like 3 years for $9 million total or something like that. Like, Austin Rivers is fine. Like, I don't, you know, he wouldn't be good on the Knicks or on the Nets, but I'm kind of shocked that the Knicks are doing the right thing when obviously I think reportedly they went off after Gordon Hayward. They probably could have gotten Fred VanVleet because Fred VanVleet did not sign for all that much money comparatively in Toronto, but they didn't throw the bag at him. They're kind of just picking up dudes and they're going to be bad again. And they're going to be bad in a draft that's supposed to be awesome. And they are in a position to take on more salary. Now, I think the thing they should do is just stop signing players and just have cap space, because they could do what OKC is doing a little bit and just pick up some more draft picks. That's what they should do, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, if I gun to my head, you make me pick one of those guys, I'm going Jared Dudley on that. I love the utility, the version of a utility player that Jared Dudley is on any team, but especially any Nets team. And also just love the personality. I mean, what's not to love? So yeah, for that reason, if you have to make me pick one, that's who it's going to be. I also just think it's the best fit. I mean, is he actually like out there to be gotten? Does he want to play?
It seems like he seemed to indicate that he's going to be a Laker.
I mean, he didn't do literally anything this season. Like, no. So he's had a lot of time off. So I don't know if this is the wisest thing to do, but
I mean, I've stayed in my position with Jared Dudley. I enjoyed him very much while he was a Brooklyn Net. He challenged Ben Simmons in a really fun way in the playoffs, which ended up kind of backfiring because Simmons then was like super motivated and basically kicked the Nets tookuses. But I am concerned about a guy who is distinctly targeting a media career, joining a team that, because I'll trace this back a little bit, okay? I grew up a Washington football team fan, and at one point the Washington football team, then called the Redskins obviously, signed a safety called Ryan Clark. That was his name. It wasn't called up. That was his name. And Ryan Clark was already basically auditioning for a job at ESPN, which he currently has, which is to be a football analyst, but he played for the Washington football team. And seemingly a bunch of stories would pop up on ESPN, sort of insider locker room type sources stories involving Ryan Clark. Not involving Ryan Clark, but involving the team. And it's always been a theory within Washington football team fans that Ryan Clark was kind of feeding the information to ESPN to get those stories out, to kind of audition basically for the job. Now, I don't 100% think that's true, but if I'm a player like Kyrie and KD, I'm a wee bit leery of future Ringer podcast host Jared Dudley.
You're talking to two guys with podcast, like Kevin Durant himself has a podcast right now that's up and running.
So I do. It is interesting. We are sitting here, and no James Harden trade has happened.
But going back to what you're saying there, like the big difference is like, are we going for a guy with any version of upside versus no version of upside? And to your earlier point, I think no upside is a nice fit for those last few positions on a championship team. I do.
Another good name for our podcast could have been No Upside.
No Upside.
Yeah, you don't want, like, so Gary Payton II is on this list. Gary Payton II was actually a pretty good, like a really good statistical defender when he was in Washington. But that's a guy who's like trying to get a job in the NBA and stick in the NBA. And you don't really want those dudes to fill out the end of your bench. And that, to link it all back, that's also why you kind of don't want Spencer Dinwiddie and Jared Allen on your team ultimately, if you can upgrade that spot, because while as nice as Jared Allen is, he is staring down the barrel of another contract. Like, he, not another contract, his big contract coming up. And if he's just a bench center, it diminishes his value. Maybe he's such a nice guy that it won't matter as much. And Spencer has talked a good game, but ultimately he's a very smart person, and he knows that he needs to hit a certain statistical benchmark to get that money. And if I'm Spencer Dinwiddie, got all my cash timed up in crypto, I want more money. So like you say, no upside is good. Like Travion Graham, love it. Ilyasova actually would be like a pretty sneaky good pickup, though. I still think
you got to play Ilyasova, right? I mean, he's been whatever for a long time.
I mean, he was just kind of banished from Milwaukee, like, meaning, like, let's see how well he did. But Ilyasan, yeah. Ilyasova.
He got a few minutes. He played a few games.
Yeah, he's not bad. And he's kind of classically a guy who, if he's on a goodish team, he's been a valuable contributor over his career. He's got enough size where he makes sense as just like your backup power forward. He shot the ball from three at a pretty decent rate. I mean, he only took two attempts a game over 16 minutes of play for 37% overall from three, which is totally representative and fine. He's just like a guy who would fit on any team. And I think he was beloved by Mike Budenholzer a little bit, or he was hated. I can't figure out which one which. But anyways, there's still some tasty names out there, and the Nets are just waiting. One last question, and I'll let you go, Brian. So wait, are you more confident, less confident, or same level of confidence for James Harden trade to the Brooklyn Nets?
So I've been doing the sneaky thing where, like, you know, I just say everyone who claimed to know things says they claim to think that this is going to happen. So I've never claimed anything, right? So it's all on them. I've always weirdly sort of, I mean, if you really ask me, like, I've always been sort of like a 45% believer in that this trade was going to happen in this offseason. Do I think it's going to ever happen? I'm more of like a 55% believer in that, but, I don't know. It just doesn't like with all the new management at Houston, it's such a like huge pivotal decision. And, you know, there isn't a like super formal expiration date on it in the way that there is with any other superstar who's got, you know, one last year on their contract, whatever. He's got a significant amount of time here. So, it puts them in an odd position. And when you're in an odd position like that, I think the thing that you might want to do and that's most tempting to do is just to like, let me hold off on this thing for just a little bit. I'm in over my head a bit here, and I want to like let the dust settle a bit before making a move. Although we did see like Real GM put out a quote about, you know, Houston being ready to move on. You know, who knows? That could all change in an hour. It probably will. Now that I've said this, it probably will change in an hour.
Yeah, I mean, so the one fear, if you desire James Harden so much to be on the Brooklyn Nets, the one fear of letting the negotiations drag on is it increases the probability that a mystery team, the Miami Heat, maybe the Raptors, whoever you want to name, can include themselves in the conversation. Because frankly, of course, the Nets don't have the best trade package. Like, I think Philly does if it's Ben Simmons. There could be other teams, like if we talked about Miami before, where it's like maybe it's Tyler Hero and like every pick they have under the sun. And that pick they just made with Precious Achiuwa, you know, you could debate what's the good trade package. But right now it behooves the Nets because it seems like there's a limited market because Harden's only indicating that he wants to go to Brooklyn or Philly, but really it seems to be Brooklyn. So the longer this drags on, I think it opens up more and more the possibility that a mystery third team comes in and the Rockets can then begin to kind of build more offers out there because James Harden's worth a lot.
Can I ask you something? Do you think that the Seth Curry, Danny Green moves suggests that they're just building around? I mean, for me, it seems like they're pretty clear that they're just building around non-shooter Ben Simmons versus elite shooter James Harden. That's where my head is at with those things.
It's interesting because it really works with both, but I think Morey is building in mind for Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. Because that's a pretty fun, exciting team. If Danny Green's the 40% from three, Seth Curry's one of the greatest shooters of all time. Those two with Simmons and Embiid and, like, again, Tobias Harris, I guess, he's still on the team. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Former Nets love Darling. Tobias yeah. Harris. Yeah. By the way, I really hope, like, the mystery star player the Nets could be pursuing, I hope it's not Tobias Harris, because you could kind of actually construct a trade where you're like, here, Daryl Morey, take like a real point guard in Dinwiddie, you get a wing in Caris LeVert. I mean, that's like already too much for Tobias Harris. But anyways, that's a sidetrack that we really don't need to go down. Yeah, but like the thing, if you're the 76ers, you have Ben Simmons and Danny Green and Seth Curry, you could very easily put James Harden in the Ben Simmons spot, and those shooters still are as valuable, if not almost more valuable, because Harden over his career has made guys who are that good of shooters like even better shooters by putting them in great positions. So
are we claiming that in a vacuum that Seth Curry is a better shooter than Joe Harris? This is a very Skip Bayless conversation to have, but
so I think statistically it would prove that Seth is.
So Seth Curry just on percentages alone, it's, I mean, he's never had as high a percentage as Joe in his best year at 47, though he's had more consistent years at 45.
I think Seth Curry is probably thought of as being a better pure shooter, like of all the kind of ways he can get off his shot. But to me, so Seth Curry's on an amazing deal. It's like $8 million a year. Joe Harris is, a better player. Like, Joe Harris doesn't really get full credit for being able to drive to the basket and score. Mm-hmm. And he's a better defender than most people want to give credit for. And he's bigger than Seth Curry by, I think, 3 inches. So those 3 inches.
A full 4 inches.
A full four?
A full four, at least.
A baker's dozen of inches. So
how many do you think a baker's dozen is?
Four, right? Yeah.
That's
four.
That's right.
Total of four? Yeah. My baker ripped me off every time I went to him. To get back to James Harden and the Nets, I think if you want him desperately on the Nets, the longer this goes on, there is a possibility that it makes it less likely, but there's also a possibility it makes it more likely because, like what you laid out, Nets play really well. The Rockets situation combustible Rockets, and it makes it more and more clear that it isn't working out with James Harden in Houston. Let's say he sits for 15 games because of a balky knee or like some baloney injury. And he forces his way to Brooklyn, and you know, that presents a whole bunch of other issues, but you know, I still actually believe it's going to happen. I still give the Nets the best shot at getting him unless if Ben Simmons is laid out on the table. Like one of those like sushi, you know, you eat sushi off of people. I guess that's something that happened in Sex and the City, right?
It's a reality TV. Definitely on Below Deck that happens.
That is on Below Deck. It is. Yeah, good call. All right. Thank you all for listening. We will be back in your ears. I think Brian and I are going to probably not do another show for the rest of the week unless if James Harden is traded.
That's news to me, but okay. Jeez.
Brian and I are going to have a virtual Thanksgiving podcast where we drink wine and eat turkey for 4 hours and talk about politics. Is that what people do?
The fraud.
The fraud. Thank you all for listening. We'll be in your ears as soon as possible.
Bye-bye.